Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast. I'm producer Caleb, and unfortunately, I won't be joining you for the rest of this episode. This episode was recorded at the Here We Still Stand conference during the last day there when I was out of town. Dr. Keith was able to record, however, while I wasn't there, and so this episode is recorded by Dr. Keith with Dave Zoll of Mockingbird Ministries. On this episode, they're going to talk about Mockingbird, kind of the similarities between 1517 and Mockingbird and what they do differently. They're going to talk about opportunities for you to go to different conferences across the country and hear different speakers, maybe look at a couple books that you may not have heard of before. So all in all, this will be a resource-heavy episode for you that I think you'll get a lot out of. If you joined us for the Here We Still Stand conference, it was great to meet you. It was great to be able to record live in front of listeners of the show. Thank you for supporting the show by coming to the conference and in any other ways that you do. As always, this is just going to be a reminder to, if you haven't already, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcasting app. Subscribing allows you to make sure that you never miss an episode, that you get the special Wednesday episodes that we sometimes do that you might miss if you just go look online on Fridays and the like. You can also support the show by donating at give.1517legacy.com, or there's a donate button on the Thinking Fellows website as well. You can also find the books that we are currently reading on the homepage of the Thinking Fellows website. So that's a new feature that we added a couple months ago. So if you'd like to kind of keep up with the fellows, see what we're reading at the moment, it may be about theology, it may be about history, it may be something completely different. You can go see for yourself. Sometimes books that we talk about on the show end up there as well. I think Night Driving with Chad Bird, his new book is up there right now. I just finished reading that 2 weekends ago. It was a great book. Highly recommend it if you haven't picked it up already. As always, you can catch a show every Friday at noon on iTunes or wherever you like to listen. All right, please enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast. My name is Scott Keith. I'm the only regular guy in the room. Caleb, we're still at the Here We Still Stand conference in San Diego, California. Caleb flew off to be in his best friend's wedding up in Northern Nevada, flew out this morning. Rod's out rumbling around somewhere, and I never know where Adam is at these things. So I have with me today, sitting across the table from me, David Zoll of Mockingbird Ministries. Hi, David.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. All I really wanted to do out of this podcast was, I'm basically at this conference, I'm trying to grab as many of the people that are cooler and smarter than I am to come and sit down with us and and chat about what you do. And I mean, even your books, I just want our listeners to know about you guys more than some of them probably do. I think it's important. The people that have influenced me, I want our listeners to be influenced too. And you're definitely, and your dad, definitely in that category. And so thought we'd sit down and talk. You are the director of Mockingbird Ministries, right?
That's correct. That's what they say.
That's what they tell you. What is Mockingbird? I got to tell you, I first heard about Mockingbird from my friend Aaron Peterson, who's here, mm-hmm. who knew of your dad, I think probably more than you. And put me onto it, I want to say maybe in 2011 or so. Mm-hmm. But then several years ago, our friends the Winriches started providing the means for us to travel out to this thing called Mockingbird NYC, which is a conference in New York. I'll let you talk about it more, that you guys put on every year. And it's amazing. It's I don't even know how to describe it. It's more like a almost like a 48-hour banquet where there's some talking, you know.
That's a really great way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just phenomenal. We often say in Lutheranism, or Rod and I often say in Lutheranism, that Lutherans suck at like creation order stuff, you know, making people feel comfortable and hospitality. And I always say, man, I wish we could pull it off like those Anglican guys, because when you go there, you feel welcome and it's great. I have another story about the conference for later on in the podcast, but I'll let you go. And why don't you just, can you just tell the listeners about what is Mockingbird? Why did you start it? What are you guys doing these days? You have got some great books out that I think our listeners should buy.
Definitely. Purchasing things is very, very important.
Yes, I believe. I am a believer in
I'm
that.
I'm here to sell.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I always say there's not really an elevator speech for Mockingbird, though. And I've often hear people talk about it in ways that I think are better than the way I talk about it. I tend to just tell the story in that Mockingbird is it started out as an attempt by a bunch of friends, probably at a certain age where you think anything's possible.
Sure, yeah.
We had really gotten captivated by the gospel, and by that I mean the kind of what we're hearing at this conference, this message of God's grace, the mechanism of which is double imputation, and is really more radical and exciting than, you know, you spend your lifetime figuring that out and absorbing it and reabsorbing it. And every time you think you've exhausted the possibilities, you haven't. And of course, related to that is the distinction between the law and the gospel, and the theology of the cross, and all of these, I guess, reformational understandings that we found to be downright exciting, especially not only for their truth, but also for their sort of diagnostic power in everyday life and contemporary culture and all sorts of ways. And we hadn't really, we didn't feel, at least when this started in 2007, you could listen to Rod on the White Horse Inn.
Yeah.
There's a few different places. Like, you could find Gerhard Ferde. You could read Robert Capon. Clearly, my dad was a big influence on it all. But we the Christianity, the good news that we had heard, just seemed to be just not out there anywhere.
Sure.
And so we were in, most of us, and Mockingbird has no denominational affiliation. However, a lot of the people that are involved are Episcopalian, Anglican of some stripe. Sure. I like to say
same thing with 1517. We actually have no denominational affiliation. It just happens to be that most of us are Lutheran.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of how it works out. And so we just, anyone who's followed that kind of denominational history knows that, like a lot of denominations, there's been a lot of infighting, a ton of drama, and actually, Mockingbird tends to be sort of a wider tent than people realize, but one of the things that united us was the fact that all of the church politics was distracting from reaching a very hurting, broken world of which we were a part. And so, as I said, combined with some hubris, some naivete, we launched this, and a little bit of financial backing, we launched this ministry in New York City to reach young adults. And, I'm happy to always give credit where credit's due, because Rod Rosenblatt's talk on the gospel for those broken by the church was really instrumental for us, as were a number of other things. But that was one of the things that in our early days we were saying, we want to do this.
Right.
We want to.
I still say that.
This is it.
Yeah.
And no one's saying this. And this is good news. And this is not just good news in the abstract. It's not a legal fiction. It has pastoral and theological power, profundity.
Sure.
And it's like lightning. I think it's lightning in a bottle, though I don't want to, it's not important for its effects necessarily. However, the passion that we had around the historic gospel, as we had sort of received it through some of these means, was just infectious, and we wanted to get it. What were we talking about at this conference? It doesn't preach itself.
That's right. Yeah. So Romans 10.
What?
Romans 10.
Romans 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we tried to figure out, what does it mean to do that in where we are today? And the internet's clearly a big part of where people live, and the church has been, understandably, wisely perhaps, but also in some cases a little overly slow to pick up on.
Sure, or to do it well even.
Or to do it well, yeah. To figure out what it means to sort of do proclamation and connection.
Sure.
In ways that weren't just shouting at people mm-hmm. online. And so we started doing stuff online. We had conferences and...
What made you want to do conferences? We've done with Christ Hold Fast, city events and the Christ Hold Fast Florida where you were, which was definitely smaller scale than this in a lot of ways. what made you want to do a conference? They're really hard to pull off.
It was actually my friend and the guy who was instrumental in the early days named Sean Norris, who thought, let's sort of, we know some people who are out there in ministry mainly, and they feel alone, maybe a little crazy, and tired, and let's have kind of almost like a family reunion, but where we get Stephen Paulson to come and talk to us, and we have some good meals, and we had access to this incredible venue in New York where you've been, Calvary St. George's downtown. And so we did that, and it seemed to really be something that everyone, it was just clear being there that something necessary was happening. And so we said, okay, we'll do it again the next year. And we had no plan to say, we're going to do this indefinitely. In fact, the fourth year or so, I think one of the years when Rod came out and spoke, I was like, well, this is it. This is as far as it goes.
<I'm good.
laughs> We've run out of,
I need a vacation.
Out of money. I'm tired. We've all started to hate each other. Yeah. Let's wrap it up. But then, you know, you see God. It's one thing to talk about, you know, God's mercy and love and provision, and it's another thing to experience it. And I feel like we, as an organization, have experienced it interpersonally and, you know, more widely. And so here we are 10 years, 11 years later, and just...
It was 10-year anniversary this past year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there. It was great. I mean, I think of the this is going to sound a little dramatic, possibly, but the dinners, but not just the food, the camaraderie and the fellowship that goes on at the dinners at Mockingbird, especially this last year, because you had me out and I did a breakout and I talked about the prodigal son, the feast at the end of the prodigal son story. The feasts there feel like that, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, but not just because the food is good, which it is, or that the wine is good, which I assume it is, I don't drink wine, but because that feast is about the celebration of new life for the lost. Mm. And the whole conference is about the celebration of new life for the lost. And then you very smoothly transition, you know, into the feast. And we all have our robes and our shoes and our rings on, and we come in and celebrate. And it's wonderful. So I think everybody should come to it.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. Thanks, Scott. I love those meals myself. I'm always, of course, on the organizational side and thinking about what could go wrong. But I hear from people that there's a joy that's not contrived.
No, there's an impact there.
That people really meet each other and are excited. And folks that stumble in, because we always have people that are sort of friends of so-and-so that are there. And Mockingbird is not just a group of Christians. I find that we have lots of folks on the fringes or just sort of interested in faith, and the internet can provide a safer venue for people to check things out. And then they show up and they're like, wow, this is, I haven't seen something like this.
Well, you guys do a lot of cultural interaction, a lot with music and movies and stories. And that'll draw people in that aren't necessarily just interested in, you know, exegesis right off the bat of the text of scripture right off the bat. But the great thing is that you bring that in. You bring in solid exegesis, solid law gospel interpretation of the text, and you bring it in intertwined with things that I'm completely incapable of doing, modern cultural references that ring with people in a really archetypal sort of way and that they get, and then all of a sudden they're open to hearing the text of Scripture. It's beautiful.
Well, gosh. If we've done that at all, then praise God, because I think... Certainly, I grew up just soaked in pop culture, as do most people these days, especially in the age of the internet. And so
I hid in the mountains, so that's lost on me.
Well, for us, for at least for me, not to use pop culture, it would feel false. But on the other hand, the hesitation there is that you don't want to turn into a big youth ministry or something. And not that there's anything wrong with youth ministry. I was a youth minister for many years, actually, but. Sometimes people think, oh, you guys are the pop culture crew. I was thinking, well, not really. I don't, I love pop culture. I have a lot of people that are attracted to what we're doing because they're interested in what we have to say about this movie or that this album or this kind of phenomenon in sort of modern parenting or psychology. But ultimately, we're hopefully getting at something deeper and more profound and more eternal and less fleeting. And I think if you stick around, you start to realize there's an animating conviction, and a lot of it has, and it has basically all to do with what comes out in our books. I mean, we wrote a book called Law and Gospel.
Absolutely, yeah. You wrote that book, right?
I was myself and two of my colleagues wrote it together. But we've written devotionals. We've done a little bit of pop culture. I mean, I wrote a book about music, but for the most part, we're doing. I mean, I feel like the process of working for Mockingbird is just looking for open doors and walking through them.
Didn't your brother write a book about addiction?
He did. He wrote a book called Grace and Addiction,
yeah.
The Good News of Alcoholics Anonymous for Everybody. In fact, Mockingbird was started in the church where we have the conference, Scott, was where Bill Wilson wrote the 12 Steps.
Really?
With Sam Shoemaker, who was an Episcopal minister.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
And, you know, obviously they're not, it's different than the gospel, but if you, what they were trying to do was to take a lot of the Protestant understanding of the bondage of the will, of the sort of radical intervention of God on the sinner, and the sustaining the you know what did we just hear about this 95 theses, the life is of the Christian is one of confession and absolution, repentance and absolution
and election,
and that's what a lot of what AA looks like. And so that book is not trying to say these two things are the same thing, but there's a lot to be gained from that perspective, and I feel like it's a real avenue into a lot of people experience God, a lot of really suffering people. So, yeah. So again, that's just a few resources we've done. I'm proud of those.
So, last 3 years, I think I've attended the Mockingbird NYC conference. Now you do other conferences too, Texas, right?
We do. We do one in Tyler, Texas, of all places, every year.
Yeah.
And we're
that down by Sarah Condon.
It's close to, she's in Houston. Okay. Sarah works for Mockingbird and she's super talented if people know her. A good friend. She's in Houston. Tyler's sort of outside of Dallas.
Okay.
It's one of these things that's just happened organically where a bunch of people were sitting around reading these books and said, hey, any chance you'd ever come down here? I said, okay, we'll try it out.
Yeah.
And then here we are 4 years later doing that.
So, yeah, anyway, I've gone to the Mockingbird NYC conference, I think the last 3 years, could be more, but I think the last three. I always, whenever I'm teaching on being dad, I tell this story because it's in the book, that you, that year and the next year, I didn't notice it this year, had a conference chaplain who was Jim Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, when I teach this, I always like to say, you know, having, we don't have one either here at Hurstville Stand, we should. I said, having a conference chaplain, I don't know whose idea it was, but it's kind of brilliant. Especially at a conference like Mockingbird, because there's a lot of heavy-duty grace that goes on and is proclaimed in some of the sessions, and if not all of the sessions at the conference. And you can actually see people, I'd say converted, you know, or I'd say moved, convicted. We in our language, we'd say, you know, killed and made alive, sitting right there in the pew. And they often, I could imagine, the session's done, somebody has brought them, you know, to the depths of despair and then brought them out of that with the gospel, and the session's over. And I could imagine they need somebody to talk to, right? And a pastor, somebody to be a pastor to them in that moment. And to maybe, if it's they're not experienced with church or something, to connect them to a congregation where they can continue to hear God's word of law and God's word of gospel. So I thought it was kind of brilliant. And then he always said that his other job was to do morning devotionals. and so I remember I'm not typically a morning devotion kind of guy at conferences, but the Winriches, when they go to a conference, they go every single session, right? So they said, let's go to devotion. I showed up, and I remember it distinctly. I was sitting in the back doing the Rod Rosenblatt thing with my computer open, I think typing up parts of being dad, not really kind of paying attention. And all of a sudden, Jim Monroe says, let me tell you a story about my dad. And I'm like, he's got my attention immediately. And he tells this story about his dad. I'll let you read the book if you want to know the story. But
it's incredible.
Yeah. It in a lot of ways, it didn't change the direction of the book. That's not accurate. But it provided the example I needed that wasn't one more of Rod's examples of what I was trying to say.
Huh.
And it just happened out of the blue. And
you're just sitting there.
Just sitting there in the back, not really paying attention. And I ran up to him afterwards and I said, "Hi, I'm so and so. You're not going to know me. I'm nobody. Any way I could get that from you? And would you care if I put it in my book?" He graciously said, "Yeah, absolutely. And no, I wouldn't mind at all." Sent it to me an email, you know, within the next day or two. And it's not only a staple of being dad at the book, but it's really a staple of when I go out and teach being dad. It's like my go-to example.
Yeah, gosh, I didn't know that story. I mean, I remember you asking me for Jim's email or something like that afterwards. And I know it made it in the book, but I didn't know that you were working on being dad while it was sort of, you know, you're like half listening. And
it's crazy.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That makes my day.
Yeah, so, you know, pass along my thanks to him for sure. And I want to just say thanks to you. You had me out this year to teach at Mockingbird. That was great. You know, what a family. So
thank you. I feel like you guys are, it's all mutual. I mean, this is so much fun for me to be here.
Good. Wonderful.
And yeah, I mean, we're doing it again. Alan Jacobs is going to speak. And I think Chad Bird might do something.
Oh, yeah, great.
And then like our normal cast of characters. And that's April 26th to the 28th.
Ever planning on having a Nestigan out again?
I'd like to.
He's hard to wrestle down these days.
Yeah. I would say this, like planning conferences is not my favorite part of the ministry, but attending them is one of my all-time favorite things. So it's one of these double-edged swords. You're like, I don't really want to be an event planner. And so try to outsource that. And part of that involves someone else worrying about plane flights and cajoling.
Gotcha. Yeah, but absolutely. So as we wrap up, you guys are, and I think it's not just the one book you put out, but you're putting out books which are previously unpublished manuscripts from Robert Capon, right?
That's correct. Yeah, well, one of them was unpublished, and then we've got four, one of which is already out. So there's two that are out, and then we have three more. We're about to publish Bed and Board, which is one of his books about marriage, and that'll be out, I think, in December, possibly January.
Now, the one I have, I'm not aware of the second one. The one I have is The Man Who Met God in a Bar.
Yep, that came out most recently.
I mean, that's great. I mean, people can pick that up, I assume, on Amazon.
Yeah, you know, if they've read the Bogierts one that Broder just put out with Thine Own Eyes,
yeah,
it's not that dissimilar. I mean, it's transported to like Cincinnati or wherever it is, but it's a kind of fictionalized account of Jesus's life and through Robert Capon. If people have read him, he's just got a total way with words and a lot of humor, a little bit of like late 70s stuff mates in there too, but
yeah
that's a real privilege.
And they can pick it up at Mockingbird. Your website is
mbird.com.
mbird.com
or mockingbird.org, you can get there too.
Okay, mockingbird.org, mbird.com, or on Amazon, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
people should definitely pick that up. And all your books, I assume, are on your website. I mean, it's important for listeners to know that, you know, 1517, Mockingbird, these are nonprofit organizations, you know, that we both operate on donations, mm-hmm. And to some degree on sales of the products. So the more we sell, I know it's true for us, the more cost effective it makes it for us to actually produce the products.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so it's really important for people that support the show, for people that support Mockingbird 1517, to actually, if they're able to go out and get those products, because it makes it so that we can make more, we can do more of them. Without that, you know, it's actually hard to get donations to print books if you are not making any money whatsoever printing books.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hard pitch.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those catch-22s, but
yeah.
It's worth it. I mean, I can't believe the amount of stuff you guys have been able to do. I mean, the bottom line is that today it's a lot easier than it ever has been.
That's right.
And so we're very fortunate in that respect. It's easier to get good stuff out there with less people and less overhead. But it's also, it's still, you know, publishing is, you know, you don't go into it to make money.
No. That's right. Yeah. But you do go into it so that people, I would say... to sell. But by that I mean you don't write a book for the purpose of nobody reading it. You know,
speak for yourself. Just kidding. No, yeah, exactly.
And so if you've taken the time to write a book, kind of what you're saying is, I feel like there's something important here that might be meaningful to you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we always ask people, go get it, go pick it up. So we'll stick all that in the show notes, direct links to those products, to the Law Gospel book, to the Capon books, to the Embird site and the Mockingbird. But thanks for being on, Dave.
Thanks, Scott.
I really appreciate you coming to the conference. I really appreciate you being on the podcast. It's good to know you.
Well, likewise. Thank you so much. And anytime.
All right.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye, listeners.